So how many of you want to be stronger, more patient, more kind, more loving, and more faithful in 2023? Yeah, me too. How many of you would say this morning, if you had to take an inventory of your life, that there is room for me to improve as a person? And this year, I want to take steps towards that. So, of course, at Journey, we believe that the very best use of any life is to spend it in pursuit of knowing God better, loving Him more, and following Him wholeheartedly. As I mentioned, of course, you can catch up on the Facebook and catch up on YouTube for last month and hopefully continuing. So, like probably some of you, Sarah and I started a Bible reading plan. Do you have a Bible reading plan for the year? If you don't, we have a great one. It's called Fresh Start. It's in using the Bible app, the YouVersion Bible app. There are hundreds of plans in there. I encourage you, if you've never done a reading plan, I won't ask you to raise your hand. Maybe you never read through the New Testament before. You say, you know what? I'm going to read through the New Testament this year. Maybe you've never read through the whole Bible in it. I'm going to encourage you, find a plan and read through the whole Bible in a year. There's something about getting all of what God's Word says to us, even some of the lists, even the begats, all that stuff has purpose. So I encourage you just to go through and work your way through the Word of God. You will be changed as a result. So this one that we're using is called Fresh Start, and it breaks the Bible down in sort of a typical way, Old Testament, Psalms, Proverbs, and New Testament. And I was reading last week, and I was reading about Abraham and Lot, and then the New Testament reading was about Jesus. And I had never really read them so closely with one another. And when you read them back to back like that, the stark difference between the weakness and the failings of Abraham and Lot compared to the strength and the power and the glory and the wisdom of Jesus just jumped off the page at me. Now, I know Jesus is great and Jesus is wonderful and Jesus is awesome, but when you read sort of the normal everyday weakness and strength, good, you know, Abraham and Lot were not bad men. They're just like us. Weaknesses and strengths. Successes and failures. But when I read them so close compared to Jesus, the difference was startling. Because Jesus is more than just a good man, right? He's so much more than a great teacher, even a prophet or a miracle worker. Jesus was God in the flesh, come down to earth to save us and to make a way for each one to have a personal relationship with Him. Through His words, His character, His miracles, His courage, His love and sacrifice, He provides a path for forgiveness, freedom, restoration, hope, joy, and glory for all eternity, for all who will come to Him and say yes. How many want to say yes to Jesus more in 2023? There is life-changing power in Jesus, friend. There is life, man, that's a good place to say amen. There is life-changing power in Jesus. I want to encourage you, if you have not experienced life-changing power in Jesus yet, you are in for the very best possible thing that you could ever experience in your entire life. Like many of you, I've tried all kinds of stuff, all kinds of drugs, all kinds of alcohol, all kinds of experiences, blah, blah, blah. And there is nothing that has ever been as wonderful, as good, as great, as powerful as a close interaction, relationship, connection with the living God. There is life-changing power in Jesus. Friends, and the great news is that He makes it available to us, to anyone who is willing to reach out and say yes to Him, no matter how long you have believed in Him. We have any believers in the room today? No matter how long you've known Him, worshiped Him, loved Him, followed Him, there is more transformation to experience. There is more power to receive. There's a deeper relationship to enjoy. There is life-changing power in Jesus. And friends, we have barely scratched the surface. We have barely scratched the surface. I want you to think about Peter, James, and John walking, living with Jesus every day. And then one day this happens. After 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and his brother John and led them up on a high mountain by themselves. He was transfigured in front of them. His face shone like the sun. His clothes became white as the light. Suddenly, Moses and Elijah appeared to them, talking with them. Then Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, it's good for us to be here. If you want, I will set up 3 shelters here, one for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah." While he was still speaking, suddenly a bright cloud covered them, and a voice from the cloud said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." When the disciples heard this, they fell face down and were terrified. For a moment, the curtain was sort of peeled back, and they got to see a little bit more, not by any means all, but a little bit more of the glory that Jesus had, a little bit more of his power, a little bit more of his holiness, of his righteousness, of his goodness. Right? All of a sudden, the curtain was peeled back just a little bit, and the end result was that they fell face down and were terrified. There's so much more to Jesus that they knew, and there's so much more to Jesus than we know, than we have experienced, that we have seen. So much we don't understand yet. Now, we will never know an infinitely all-powerful, omnipresent God fully this side of heaven. You cannot know God fully this side of heaven. We are simply not equipped in this finite and limited existence. But while we cannot know God fully in this life, we can know him truly. We can know the truth about him. We can walk in the truth about him. We can live in the truth about him. We can know truth about God even though we can't learn all of it yet. What we know, we can know truly. We can know God truly even though we can't know him fully. Not yet. We will. The Bible says that when we see him face to face, we'll become like him. We'll have a glorified body, and we will be able to experience in ways we can't even comprehend now the full glory of God. Hey, come on, somebody. So when my brother, who is now dancing before the throne of God, and how he used to talk about it and preach about it, he's happier now, more fulfilled and more alive than he has ever been before in his life. A glorified body, a whole different kind of existence, throwing off pain and weakness and infirmity, throwing off tears and sorrow and sadness, and being in the presence, the glory, and the joy of God. Come on, friends. There is life-changing power in Jesus, and we have only scratched the surface. So when this life-changing power of Jesus makes a sudden advance or increase in our lives, when we are able to surrender our lives to him, when we are able to find new freedom from destructive habits or mindsets, when we find new healing from our past and experience new strength to continue forward, when we receive new power to defeat old enemies, we experience what we're talking about this morning. We experience breakthrough. Joy, hope, peace, devotion, direction, provision can all find new abundance in our lives. If we will make a way for it to come, if we will make room for it in our lives. I want to talk to you this morning about breakthrough. And I pray that as a result, that each one of us can leave here today with some measure of breakthrough in our lives. Let me define some terms quickly. The Webster's Dictionary defines breakthrough as a significant or sudden advance or development. How many can think of some areas in your life today that you would like to have some significant or sudden advance or development in? An act or instance of removing or surpassing an obstruction or restriction. Anything standing in your way, any mountain you'd like to see moved in relationships, family, career. A military advance through and beyond an enemy's defense. We have an enemy who hates us and who actively works against God's will being worked out in your life. But we can break through the things that stand in the way. We can break through those things that are holding us back and keeping us down. We can break through in some ways that we haven't yet. For our purposes, a breakthrough could be defined as a sudden increase of the love, truth, and power of God in our life and in our world. Friends, I want breakthrough for you today. I want breakthrough for me today. I want breakthrough in our jobs, in our relationships, in our marriages, for our church, for our neighborhood, for our community. I'm praying for breakthrough this week, friend. I hope to help you see your own need for breakthrough this morning and to help you believe that you can find some. Your situation, your history, your strengths, your weaknesses, you and I can find breakthrough today regardless of what we walk through, regardless of what we drag into this moment. I can find breakthrough and so can you. I'm believing that this morning. But prayer is an indispensable to experiencing new breakthrough in our lives. Prayer is indispensable to experiencing that kind of breakthrough, that kind of advance. Prayer is indispensable for us to experience breakthrough today, tomorrow, and into the new year. So if you ask, the majority of people in America would say they pray. Everybody prays one way or another, informally or formally. It's like they hit themselves on something or they just miss getting in an accident. Oh, God. Really a simple prayer, right? Everybody prays. When we're desperate, we pray. When we're confused, we pray. When we're in need, we pray. When we're in danger, we pray. Almost everybody prays, but we don't always pray with a right understanding of who God is, what He wants to do, or how He wants to accomplish His will in our lives. Everybody, just about, prays voluntarily, involuntarily, formally, informally. But most of us do not feel confident about how or even what we pray. That's not one we want to raise our hands for, but it's pretty common, right? Most people do not feel confident about how or even what they pray. I'm convinced that most of the time we make prayer way too complicated. Right? The shortest prayer in the Bible was answered the quickest. Peter stepped out on the water. All of a sudden, he sees the winds and the waves. He starts singing. He says, Lord, save me. Jesus reached out and saved him. The quickest prayer, or the shortest prayer, was answered the quickest. We don't have to make this. This isn't rocket science. You don't have to have a bachelor's degree in theology in order to talk to God, in order to receive from Him. Prayer is really about humbling ourselves and admitting to God that we need and want His help. It's the first step of prayer. God, I need help. I need help to the point where I'm going to set some time aside and I'm going to pray. It's like when you go to the doctor. We took all of our dogs to the vet. I've been to the vet 5 times in the last 4 days. So we had to get shots for the dogs. One of our dogs has a broken tooth. I had to take the broken tooth dog to 3 different vets to try to find a way that it's not going to cost me $1,000 to get this dog out of pain. So I've been to the vet, right? But you make time for stuff that's important. Come on, somebody. When things come up, you make time for it. When I have a need, I can do all kinds of things with it. I can try to ignore it. How many of you ignore the dash light when it comes on in your car? Come on, you can be honest. Yeah. Yeah, my husband will get that. I don't have to worry about that. That air thing, don't you hate that air thing that comes on in the winter? Your tire always loses a pound or two, and all of a sudden it's blinking at you like the world's about to end. Oh my goodness, I just need a couple pounds of air. This is not right, but you can't ignore that stuff. And it's the same with prayers, the things that come up in our lives. We feel the emptiness, or we feel the dryness. Or we recognize that there's stuff going on in our family, there's stuff going on in our city, there's stuff going on in our nation, there's stuff going on or not going on in our church, and we want to see these things happen. Or we want to see something stopped, or we know somebody that needs healing, we know somebody that needs peace or provision or comfort. Prayer is about humbling ourselves and admitting to God that we need and want His help. We got to make some time. And prayer is about recognizing not just that we need help, but believing that God wants to help and that He's able to. Those that come to God come because they believe He's good. Nobody comes to a God that they don't believe is good. I'm not remembering the verse. No one comes to God except knowing that he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Right? We have to believe that seeking God is going to offer us some kind of reward. If we don't believe that, we don't come. But friends, I want to encourage you to just hold out, open the door to hope. It is so much better to live in hope than it is in despair. It is so much better to live by faith than in doubt. When your brain, when your mind, when your emotions start to lean towards that way, despondency, despair, discouragement, I can tell you, standing on the side of a hospital bed, not knowing what's going to happen, it is so much better to walk by faith than it is to walk in fear. When you don't know how your bills are going to get paid and you could freak out and you could try to work out all the stuff, or you could say, you know what, I'm going to walk by faith instead of surrendering to fear. When you don't know what's going to happen with your kids and you're doing the best you can, but you don't exactly know how it's going to work out, and you can surrender to fear or you can continue just to walk by faith day by day by day. It's a whole lot better to live by faith than it is to surrender to fear or to discouragement or despair. If you're like most people and you struggle with prayer, knowing what to stay, staying focused, trying to keep prayer from just becoming, God, here's my list, I got to go. There's an outline that I think is really helpful to guide us as we pray. This is not original, but I think this is a fabulous outline. It's pray. It's based on the word pray. You see, of course, it starts with praise, which is just taking time to think about and then to verbalize God's goodness, God's greatness, God's kindness, God's nearness. I don't know if any of you watched The Chosen. I really like, most of The Chosen, I think, is awesome. With any dramatization of Jesus' life, there's going to be stuff that you say, maybe, whatever. But I think the main gist of who Jesus is captured so well by this. They show the Jewish form of prayer. Lord God, King of the universe, who provides food for our table. Lord God, King of the universe, who brings peace to my soul. Lord God, King of the universe, who forgives my sins and who offers me grace on a daily basis. I love the way that I started incorporating that just in my own prayer time. It just felt like it framed his characteristics so well. But start with praise. Start with taking some time to worship God. And then take some time to repent. Sin insulates us from God. Bad attitudes, destructive habits, it pushes God's presence away from us. It insulates us from him. Sin always brings death to something. Faith, joy, peace, hope. We need to keep short accounts with God. Repent. Admit to God, I've sinned. I've said no to you. I've said yes to me. God, forgive me. I want to turn from sin and I want to turn towards you. Repentance. Spend a little time. Ask him to forgive you. Ask him to cleanse you. And then begin to ask. What are the things that you, God, these are my needs. These are the needs of my friends. We need to seek God's face, but he also encourages us to seek his hand. It's not wrong to do both. He wants us to come to tell him our needs. It honors him when we trust him that he's going to do what he said he's going to do. So ask, and then the why is yield. Because we're not just talking to God, we also want to take time to listen, and here's the tough one, to obey. How many times we heard something from God, we say, I'm not sure that's God, because we didn't want to do it. Come on, somebody. Right? Talk to that guy on the other side of the pumping gas. I'm not sure that's God. But what's wrong with this gas thing? It's not working right. You leave yet? Right? So yield, take time to listen and obey. Before we go, don't just drop off your list. God, I got to go. I'm busy. Got stuff to do today. Take a moment. God, what are you saying to me today? How do you want me to respond to the things that are going on in my life and in my world, in my heart, in my mind? How do you want me to respond to them? God, I'm willing to surrender. I'm surrendering myself to you. Surrender myself to your lordship. Surrender myself to the conviction of the Holy Spirit. God, come and show me the way. So pray. Start with praise, and then repent, and then ask, and then yield. It's a very simple outline. I encourage you, if you're struggling, if you're trying to figure out how to work out your prayer life, this is a great way to start. I still use pretty much this outline as I work through my prayer time. We can pray in ways that bring us closer to God. We can pray in ways that make more room for Him in our lives. We can pray in ways that help us experience breakthrough. Somebody say experience breakthrough. In our challenges and our struggles. And this week, as we gather together for prayer, I am believing for breakthrough. I'm believing for breakthrough for you. I'm believing for breakthrough for me. I'm believing for breakthrough for us and for them. Again, you can't see the map. In all the ways that we need it, and in all the ways that God wants to give it. I want to look at three, quickly, three breakthroughs from the Bible, and try to learn what we can from them. The first one, number one, if you're taking notes, a breakthrough of power. A breakthrough of power. Three breakthroughs in the Bible. What can we learn from them? Number one, a breakthrough of power. The book of Acts records what happened to Jesus' followers after he was crucified, raised from the dead, and ascended to the Father in heaven. So Jesus promised that almost unbelievably that his going away was going to be a good thing because he and the Father were going to send a comforter, the Spirit of Truth, that would give his followers power, comfort them, and convict them of sin and show them the truth. Jesus promises that we can be filled and promised those followers that they would be filled with the Holy Spirit. So once Jesus' followers, these followers, were filled with the Spirit, amazing, supernatural events began to occur in their lives. Spiritual gifts became evident. Miracles, healing, praying and speaking in tongues, speaking about Jesus with great effectiveness. During this time, the church was born and grew dramatically. But so did persecution from the religious leadership of Israel. So Peter and John, two of the three that were on the Mount of Transfiguration with Jesus, sort of Jesus' inner circle. Peter and John were arrested for speaking, teaching, and healing in the name of Jesus. They were ordered by the religious leaders to stop. Now, these were the same men that had put Jesus to death. These disciples who had previously hid from these men now came together to pray and to ask God to help them in the face of these threats. Here's what it says, Acts 4. And now, Lord, consider their threats and grant that your servants may speak your word with all boldness, while you stretch out your hand for healing and signs and wonders are performed through the name of your holy servant Jesus. When they had prayed, the place where they were assembled was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak the word of God boldly. Somebody say boldly. In the face of threat and uncertainty. In the face of risk and danger, when it would be easy, much easier to surrender to what was easy, to give in to what's convenient, to shrink back and quiet down. Anybody ever feel like that? You're in an environment and they want you to just to kind of be quiet. They want you to shrink back. They don't want you to step up. They want you to sit down. When it'd be so much easier to do that, these people came together to pray, and God answered them with power and boldness. They, friends, had a breakthrough. In so many of the situations that we face today, when we face intimidation, when we're tempted to accept compromise, to make our lives just a little easier, when we feel pressured to keep talk about Jesus or faith quiet, we can pray and we can find a supernatural provision of just what we need to stand our ground humbly, to speak the truth, even to those that don't want to hear it. As we gather this week for prayer, I am believing that we can pray for and receive breakthroughs of power and boldness. But we're not just looking at a breakthrough of power this morning. I also want to look at number two, a breakthrough of direction. A breakthrough of direction. As the early church was growing and spreading, there were also growing questions about who could become a follower of Jesus. He was, after all, the Messiah sent to God's chosen people, the Jews, the children of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And while these early Jewish believers in Jesus had very strong convictions that Jesus was almost exclusively sent to the Jews, God's word contained promises of a Messiah for the whole world. Now, there was a Roman soldier named Cornelius who believed in God, prayed to him, and earnestly tried to live accordingly. One day when he was praying, an angel appeared to him and told him that God had heard his prayers and that he was to send for a man named Peter who was in a city named Joppa. While Peter was in Joppa, up on a roof praying, he was waiting for lunch to be prepared. He went up on the roof and began to pray. As he was praying, he had a vision, kind of like a dream, but he was awake. Peter was told to go and to tell Cornelius the good news about Jesus, even though Cornelius was not a Jew. When Peter got to Cornelius's house, he said this, Acts 10, 28 and 29. Peter said to them, "You know it's forbidden for a Jewish man to associate or visit a foreigner." Think about it for a second. "But God has shown me that I must not call any person impure or unclean. That's why I came without any objection when I was sent for." So that was in relation to Peter's vision that he had. Now, Acts 10, skipping ahead just a little bit. Then Peter replied, "I see very clearly that God shows no favoritism. In every nation," somebody say every nation, "He accepts those who fear him and do what is right. This is the message of good news for the people of Israel, that there is peace with God through Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all." Peter and Cornelius each set aside time to pray, and as a result, God gave them invaluable direction that changed the course of the early church, sending them out into the whole world with the good news of Jesus. Now, today we face many situations where we are uncertain about how to move forward, or we don't exactly know how to respond, not knowing what the right answer is. We get paralyzed with uncertainty, or we can grow discouraged or apathetic by the complexity of the problems. "It's too big for me. I don't understand it. I'm just not even going to try. I'm not even going to pray. I'm just going to ignore it and hope it goes away." That never works, generally speaking. God answers prayer, and sometimes those answers give us a breakthrough of new direction, of new understanding, and of new wisdom. Anybody would like a little direction for 2023? You need some new understanding about some stuff. You need new wisdom. We can pray for a breakthrough in this area. What breakthrough of direction or wisdom do you need today? It could be just a prayer away. How many believe that this morning? There is life-changing power in Jesus. And he wants us to experience that power in ways that makes us better people, better wives and husbands, better daughters and sons, better neighbors and friends and co-workers. We can make and keep appointments with God that allow that power to flow to us, to work in us, to change us, to transform us, to empower us, and to show us the way. We've seen so far this morning that God can give us a breakthrough of power, that he can give us a breakthrough of direction, and lastly, he can give us a breakthrough of freedom. Somebody say freedom. After Peter's breakthrough of direction, the church began sending believers around the known world to tell and to show the good news that Jesus died to save, to forgive, and to restore. Anybody happy about it? Two men named Paul and Silas had been sent to a Roman colony in Philippi, where they were arrested for teaching what was, quote, unlawful for Romans to do. So Paul and Silas are thrown in prison. This is what happens. Acts 16, 23 through 26. After they had severely flogged them, they threw them in jail, ordering the jailer to guard them carefully. Receiving such an order, he put them into the inner prison and secured their feet in the stocks. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, there was such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the jail were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's chains came loose. Come on, somebody. Paul and Silas had lost their freedom. They were captives to those who stood opposed to Jesus, but in the midst of that captivity, at their lowest point, beaten and imprisoned in the lowest dungeon. They didn't give in to anger, to bitterness, to hopelessness, to frustration, or to doubt. They chose to worship God and to pray to Him, and God answered and set them free. There are all kinds of things, friends, that try to take away our freedom. We fight with some of them in our own minds, in our own hearts. There's things from our past, the way we were raised, that we have to push against and press against because they're trying to take away our freedom. There's addictions and attitudes, there's habits and mindsets that become so ingrained in our minds and our hearts that they seem powerless to stand against their desires and their instruction in our lives. They've been so worn into some of our habits, so worn into some of our thoughts, so worn into ways in our lives that we don't even really push against them anymore. They just seem like they're part of us now. Even when we recognize how destructive obeying them can be. Whether it's the case of something we cannot deny or something we simply will not deny, there's things that we can't not do and there's things we won't not do. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Sometimes there are points in our lives where we just are unable to resist. Like there's things, we have a bondage, there's a bondage there that we can't seem to resist, but Jesus sets us free and then we have a choice. We can choose not to. But we don't always, even though we know that it's destructive. Whether there's a case of something we can't deny or something we simply won't deny, the effect is still the same. We have lost the ability to direct our lives towards the best possible outcome. We are in bondage. But friends, we can be set free in Jesus. There's no mindset, there's no habit, there's no attitude, there's no expression, there's no reaction that we cannot be set free from through Christ. And that freedom, my friends, can be just a prayer away. Paul and Silas experienced a supernatural breakthrough of freedom, and so can you. So can I. So can they. There's folks that come into this building that have come here for Craven. They need some freedom. There's some things that they're not able to say no to right now. There's a bondage, a chain, a hook in their heart, their mind, their flesh, and the enemy just drags them around whenever he wants to. Some of you, let's remember how we were the same way. Taken captive by the devil to do his will, but God gave us that gift of repentance. So that we can escape the snare of the devil, find freedom in Christ. And there are others that we need to help them to find freedom in Christ. And maybe there's still a hook or two left in us. Maybe there's a hook or two left in us. That if we get poked just the right way, this creature comes out. If we have just the right stimulation, we'll do this thing that we know we shouldn't. We'll say this stuff that we know would be better not said. Maybe there's still some hooks in us. We can be set free. And that freedom, friends, can be just a prayer of way. Freedom to get rid of the stuff that's holding us back and keeping us down. These men refused to be controlled by their surroundings, and they chose to depend on and believe that God would come to their rescue. He's still coming to the rescue today. He wants to come to your rescue. He wants to come to my rescue. He wants to come to their rescue. The freedom we need, the freedom we crave, it's only a prayer away. What kind of breakthrough do you need today? If you're able, as we prepare to leave, I'm just going to ask you to stand. Josh, if you could give me a little music to help us to pray. There is life-changing power in Jesus. How many believe that this morning? There is life-changing power in Jesus. No matter how long we've believed in Him, known Him, worshiped Him, loved Him, followed Him, there's more transformation to experience. There's more power to receive. There's a deeper relationship to enjoy. There's more, friends. There's more. How many of you would like to have more? More joy. More peace. More patience. More faith. More devotion. A closer relationship to Him. How many of you would like to have more? His power is one breakthrough away from impacting our lives. I want breakthrough for you. I want breakthrough for me. I want breakthrough for Journey. I want breakthrough for our city. I want breakthrough for our state. I want breakthrough for our world. I'm going to come and I'm going to ask God for breakthrough on Monday, on Tuesday, on Wednesday, on Thursday, and on Friday. I'm not going to stop then, though, but I'm going to come together. I'm going to set some time aside to believe and to pray and to seek the God of heaven who gives breakthrough. The God of heaven that Elijah prayed to is a man just like us, James tells us. But he prayed and it didn't rain for 3 years. And then he prayed and it rained again. Breakthrough. Hey! God wants to demonstrate His power. The Word says that He's looking all around the world to see whom He can perform His Word in. I want to raise my hand to say today and say, Jesus, perform Your Word in me. God, perform Your Word in me. I know it's so much more about You than it is about me, but God, I'm standing here asking. I'm standing here making room for You. Choosing to believe, choosing not to respond to my circumstances, my situations, what I see and what I feel. I'm going to respond to the truth of Your Word. I'm going to respond to the power of Your Spirit. I'm going to respond to You. Lord, I'm standing here asking You for breakthrough in my life and in the lives of the people listening, the lives of the people in this room today. If you're looking for breakthrough, I'm just going to just lift a hand towards heaven today. God, I'm believing for breakthrough. It may be for you, it may be for a family member, it may be for our church, it may be for our city, maybe for our state or world. I'm believing for breakthrough today. How many of you are with me this morning? For those of you watching online, if you're believing for breakthrough, let's just pray together in the name of Jesus. Maybe you're watching today and you've never really allowed that initial Jesus to come and break through and allowed Him in to forgive you and to restore you and to love you. I can tell you that is the very best decision you could ever make is just to say yes to Jesus. Just to say yes to Jesus. And if that's you right now, just say yes to Him. Jesus, I'm asking You to come to forgive me. I know that I've sinned. Forgive me. Cleanse me from unrighteousness, from the thoughts, from the habits, the things I've done, the things I've said. Forgive me today. I give my life to You. I want to say yes to You today. I want to say yes to You tomorrow. I want to say yes to You for the rest of my life in Jesus' name. For those of us that are believing for breakthrough, God, we reach out to You today and we're asking, believing that breakthrough could be just one prayer away. It could be just one decision away from standing in faith, believing Your Word. Believing that You're going to do what You said You were going to do and that You're going to be who You said You're going to be. God, we're believing for breakthrough today in each life. We're believing for one another today. We're believing for our city today. We're believing for friends today. In the name of Jesus, God, bring the breakthrough we need. Whether we know it, whether we don't, what we recognize and what we don't recognize, God, I'm asking for miracles today. I'm asking for power today. I'm asking for direction today. God, come today and break through our own ideas, our own confusion, our own thing, whatever we are providing that's getting in the way. God, break through it today, we're asking. Bring You more of Your love, Your truth, and Your power to make us more like You. Lord, we thank You for it today. If that's your prayer this morning, somebody shouted amen. Amen. God bless you guys. Breakthrough. Go ahead and say it with breakthrough. Hey, come on, somebody. So believing for breakthrough for you, for me, for them.